Welcome to Chapter 80 of the Kinsmen Die podcast, home of fantasy fiction based on Norse mythology that's written and read by me, Matt Bishop. In this podcast, I read my first novel, Kinsmen Die, one chapter at a time. And with each episode, when it makes sense, I provide some commentary about the source materials I've referenced in the text. This week, we're back with Blind Hodur Odinson for a very short chapter. We last saw Hodur in Chapter 70 as he traveled back to Gladsheim in the company of the smith Lopt. The smith had given Hodur a magic spear, which unexpectedly restored Hodur's sight, at least to an extent. Lopt is the one whose horse had trampled Hodur and would have killed him had Hodur not eaten Yggdrasil's fruit a few days prior. Hodur has returned to Gladsheim to patch things up with his father. Hodur also wants to marry a woman named Alara, and he's seeking Odin's permission to marry or to no longer take Yggdrasil's fruit every year. This is because Alara does not want to eat Yggdrasil's fruit, and Hodur's not sure if he wants to give that fruit up for her, or if his father will even allow him. So he has a decision to make and a confrontation ahead of him. Let's rejoin him now. Chapter 80, Hodur. "So all it did was knock him off his feet?" Lop said, laughter in his voice. Hodur smiled at the memory. "Not just off his feet, but through the wall behind him. My mother was not happy." "And it didn't hurt him?" "Not at all. When he stepped back through the hole in the wall, grinning, all the folk in the hall started chanting his name." His smile soured. "Afterward, Thor just laughed, clapped Baldur on the shoulder, which nearly knocked him down again, and went back to drinking." Lopt laughed. "What company you grew up in, Jarl. Was every midwinter like that?" "No. My mother would have tossed Thor out if he'd broken the wall again. They spent a drafty fortnight in that hall before it was fixed." "But that's tradition, right? Throwing things at Baldur?" Hodur nodded, his smile souring further. "It became one, yes, but only once with Thor and Mjolnir." "Does everyone participate?" "It's not as popular as it was, but there's always some who do. There's more to the celebration that goes on before that as well, which usually means folk are too drunk to hit anything by the time Baldur stands on the stump." Lop shook his head with a grin as he steered the unladen cart back toward the weighhouse he said he frequented in Gladsheim. It was in the lower tier, not far from where the Einherjar maintained a small fort inside the walls. It was slow going. The streets were packed with people making their last preparations before the three-night midwinter festival. Animals were being fed, children cared for, guests welcomed, and firewood stacked. Many were helping finish the long stands that held the food and drink which were provided by the Jarls to all comers at the festival. Still others were setting up the various games: stone and axe throwing, archery, skating on the river, wrestling, and of course, drinking and eating contests. "In my village, it's the same as this," Lop said, sweeping one arm to encompass the preparations, "but on a much smaller scale. Once my father grew wealthy enough, he started paying for skalds to come. They sang many songs, and they're the reason I know of you, Jarl." Hodur nodded to show he'd heard. Memories, far more vivid than the sight his new spear provided, swamped him. In his mind's eye, he saw the great hall of Gladsheim, up high on the center hill, strung with decorations inside and out, its tall columns of polished, carved wood glowing gold in the torchlight. As if he were there again, he heard the clatter of weapons falling to the floor, the cheers, laughter, and song. He saw again those who danced and pounded the tables for more roasted boar and bitter ale, as well as the ring of warriors who formed a cheering, clapping circle around his brother. "Jarl?" Lopt asked. Hodur realized the cart had stopped. Spear in hand, he saw the pale light cast by the torches and braziers, as well as the dim outlines of the weighhouse, its stable, and the small yard for the horses, as well as all those moving back and forth, putting their own horses and wagons away for the evening. "My mind was elsewhere," he said, stepping down from the cart. "Let's eat and hopefully rest. Tomorrow will be a busy day. Then stop calling me that, especially here." Well, folks, that was Chapter 80 of Kinsmen Die. I hope you enjoyed it. Not much happening myth-wise in that chapter. This short chapter really just serves to advance Hodur's plot and to show that he's arrived in Gladsheim. Readers know from chapter 78 that the witch Angerboda told Odin that Hodur would kill his brother, Baldur. So we also have, ideally, a bit of tension building in this chapter. Next week, we're back with Vidar. Until then, if you have the time and inclination, please rate or review the podcast. That helps boost the show's visibility, as does sharing it. As always, I'm going to read from both the Bellows and Larrington translations of the Havamal, the Sayings of the High One. And again, the numbering differences across the translation still persists and will resolve itself soon. Bellows, verse 80. An unwise man, if a maiden's love or wealth he chances to win, his pride will wax, but his wisdom never. Straightforward he fares in conceit. Larrington, verse 79. The foolish man, if he manages to get money or the love of a woman, his arrogance increases, but not his common sense. On he goes, deeply sunk in delusion. Thanks for listening.